Welcome back to the Border Patrol. Cameras are off, thank God. Streaming hour is over. A lot of emails and people reaching out about Rashee Rice. We've had three people ask me now. No, I do not think he has the same attorney as Chiefsaholic. And so stop asking that. That's a ridiculous question. Not funny.
I'd kind of like to hear the speech he would give.
No, I don't.
Football analogies.
I don't want to. I don't want to hear that. Thank you.
There's still time on the clock.
No, there's not. We have Jamie Bluma in studio.
Morning.
What's up, Bluma?
Morning.
Did you want to spend, I don't know, an hour talking about the vote?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Just put it out there in case you wanted to.
No, I'm good.
Be glad when it's over?
I'm tired of it.
Fatigue has set in. Nate was supposed to be out on location talking to people as they voted.
He's supposed to be?
Yeah.
He decided against it? Voted it out?
I don't know who decided I was supposed to be.
Me.
I know who decided, yeah. This
me.
Guy.
Me and Jake in our meeting. We have a pre-show meeting. We went over it, and we decided it would be a good idea.
So if this thing doesn't pass, then we'll just have to settle in for this to happen all over again?
Correct.
Sure.
Yes.
Awesome.
That is accurate. This is rinse not going away.
Rinse and repeat.
You know what? Go vote.
I can't.
I'm not a Jackson County resident, Stephen.
Nope.
I was talking into the microphone.
Oh.
I'm not a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That's another whole can.
And away we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. How is this possible? My dad literally had Richie delete all of his Facebook accounts, and now my dad, 7 minutes ago, has posted a 2014 Ford F-150 Super Crew cab on sale.
How much?
$8,300.
That's reasonable.
Decent financing.
We're going to have to call him.
I mean,
he's been hacked into again.
Again, for the 35th time.
How'd they reactivate
it? For the 35th time.
First of all, he's not up now. And second of all, he's... There are rules in place. This can't be him.
17 minutes ago?
If any... Seven?
7 minutes ago. He's up early this morning.
You don't... Think something fishy's going on?
Should I try to call him?
I don't know.
No, he'd be mad.
He had a whole bunch of stuff up for sale a while back.
And none of it was... He got hacked.
Yeah. None of that was really him?
No, none of it was.
Because I actually texted him about
yes.
a couple different things.
There were a lot of people.
And he texted me back about it.
There was money sent to other people, whatever.
Really? Yeah, there was a dryer on there
we were in search of. A while ago, yeah, he was selling some stuff. But then he got hacked and people were... He just clicks on anything. It just doesn't matter, you know? You've seen these on Facebook, right? That's clearly inviting you to click.
Right.
You know, do you know this guy? Click. You know, find out what you're. Yeah. Hey,
you're
this you?
You're the winner of this lottery.
Yes. Click, yeah. Click. We can't click on everything. Can't do it. So, if you are friends with my dad on Facebook, I will investigate, but I'm going to guess that's not him selling an F-150. That's my guess.
Nor is it his.
Now. Well, it hasn't stopped him in the past, but still. I've had it with this bullpen, all right?
Four games in.
When are they going to do something, huh? I don't know. Is that fake outrage enough?
No, I mean, I said it at the beginning of the year. I mean, we're going to have to – it's going to be a revolving door. We're going to have to figure out who's in what slot. I mean, obviously, we tried to throw Will Smith in there the other night in a tie game. And
that didn't go well.
That did not go well. Last night did not go well. I mean, work in progress. The bullpen, man, couldn't be happier with starting pitching so far.
Yeah, but there's, people like to, I think, minimize the importance of a bullpen. And I used to battle that idea for a long time until HDH came around.
Sure.
And then people understood, oh, a bullpen's really important. It could actually win you some baseball games.
Well,
but for me, for a young team, a youngish team, there's veterans out that have been added, but a young team that's trying to learn how to win and trying to change the culture, I feel like there's nothing more demoralizing than to have a bullpen that just blows up a good start, blows up a lead, that comes in and sets fire to what you've done. That's a repeated kick in the groin to a team.
Yeah, it's a drain on the clubhouse, too. I mean, those guys want to go out there and do a good job. I mean, we didn't score any runs the first two games, and we scored two total in the first two. So you can't put that on bullpen right. or anything like that. But
we could
easily be 3-1 if, you know, we hold a lead and we do that thing. I don't know. I mean, it goes back to what I talked about in spring training and guys getting roles and figuring out who's going to be, you know. I want to know who I need to talk to Walker or somebody. I want to find out who ended up winning the strike throwing competition in spring training.
Are you friendly with Walker?
I got a chance to chat with him when we did the Royals rally and all that stuff. He knows well. Shane Halter, you remember Shane Halter? He's played for the Royals. His brother, a lot of connections to Walker. Was able to BS with him a little bit that day. So,
did you say Walker?
I did not. No,
you should have.
Well, then they.
I bet he liked it.
Absolutely.
Waka, waka.
Crushed us in Family Feud, so I didn't want to talk to him after that.
Right.
It's just, and it's early, and you want to get off to a good start. And when we play Baltimore as hard as we did, we know they're going to be good throughout the course of the season. We had a couple more home runs in that game, tied late, and, you know, spit the bit again. And different guys. It wasn't Will
right.
Smith last night and oh, man, it's just we want to get off to a good start. I know we got our work cut out for us here early in the season with Minnesota's the odds-on favorite to win the Central, and we got to go play at Baltimore. I don't even know where we're next, but we got some tough games early in the season.
Now the White Sox are coming to town this weekend.
Yeah,
so
well,
let's go.
There you go. That's maybe
fatten
that gives
up.
Us some hope.
Yeah.
One or the teams go, without a win. But
ex-Royals. The Chicago ex-Royals is what they're called.
Yeah, well, there's plenty
led by GM Chris Getz.
But
did you know that, Jake? Okay. So let's go through this. So opening, like you said, opening day, they didn't score enough runs. It was a 2-1 game. But then in the ninth inning, when they have a chance to keep it a 2-1 game, Stratton gives up two runs, and it's 4-1. Maybe they don't win, but it's just a different story if you're coming up in the bottom of the ninth down 2-1 versus 4-1. Bullpen didn't do the job.
Right.
Or at least, I shouldn't say the bullpen. Stratton didn't do his job.
That day.
On that day. Okay, so then, all right, then you get game two. What happens there? Royals lose 5-1 again to the Twins. And again, you can say very easily, well, Royals didn't score enough runs. And that is absolutely true, right? But the Royals did have a 1-0 lead going into the eighth. And the bullpen gave up the lead with one in the eighth, and they gave up four in the ninth. And they blew it up, and that was MacArthur and then Will Smith.
Right.
So margin of error is small, but still you got a 1-0 lead, and you blew it up. The blowout, 11-0, the bullpen wasn't a factor because the game was a blowout, obviously. And you know this, it's different. Pitching in a game like that.
Well, and a lot of times that's where you end up giving up a run, you know, because there isn't. I mean, closers all the time, that happens to them. When you hear Monty talk about it, you've heard me talk about it, you've heard Bob talk about it. That's a lot of times when there is no, you know, adrenaline and all that stuff. You're up 11-0, that's when you give a run, but they did not.
And then so last night, Royals scored 3 in the third. Baltimore answers with 3 in the fourth. Baltimore gets a single run in the eighth. Royals tie it in the ninth. Bottom of the ninth. Tie game.
And 0-2 pitch, too, right down the middle. Man.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's just that's a problem. Early on, it's only four games, but that's a problem so far. They got to figure it out. They added a lot of different arms. Something else yesterday that came up Nick Lofton didn't do his job. And he looked bad over at first base. And that is, Nate's giving me a pained look. But
that's going to be his job. Super utility guy. He's got to be able to come in and do those things defensively, no matter where it is. I mean, he's a good enough athlete. I went back and looked too.
But the construct of the bench, right? Who could have been a better option there yesterday in that spot?
Prado.
And they do have Garrett Hampson as like a super utility. So there's an argument to be made. Well, you could add Prado on this roster instead of Lofton. I mean, all these questions are going to be asked because
especially
they're still figuring
early.
Things
oh,
out, right?
Absolutely. I mean, especially early in the season, coulda, shoulda, woulda.
And does Prado make that scoop? That was a tough play. I mean, it was a.
I would bet on the guy that's played first base a lot
more than nine times.
More than a guy that's barely ever played first. I just right. you know, yeah. right.
That was one of the things that seemed like Hosmer was so good at. You know, those
in betweeners.
Yeah, because that was a between hop, wasn't right. it? By the time it came up, it was up pretty high. It wasn't a short hop or anything like that. But you're right. I mean, your money's on a guy that the Prado's considered really good defensively, right? right?
But so. If you are a super utility guy on this team, you got to come through in that situation.
Yes.
That's what you're on the team for. And so let me switch to something good that I liked, talking about construction of the team and the bench. In the ninth, when the Royals were down 4-3, Velasquez led off, struck out, Isbell singled and got on. I love Deron Blanco. Because they were talking about, okay, who should be the fifth outfielder.
Right.
That's a guy that's a perfect bench player for this team. And here's an example. Use him to pinch run. He steals second. He steals third. Michael Garcia, sacrifice fly. He scores. That smelled like the 14 and 15 Royals, right?
Keep the line moving.
That's a guy. That's a weapon. That's a weapon you get on the bench in a game like that, and it's not going to be highlighted too much because they ended up losing. But that's why you have a guy like Blanco on the team, right?
Boy, and that steal of third base was about as close can get. I mean, that was millimeters.
Well, and when you could come in and steal a base when they probably know you're going to try to steal a base,
that's
and
big
still
time.
Do it. I mean,
two
yeah,
of
I mean,
them,
two of them, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you what kind of speed that guy's got.
Yeah, love that's what you have a weapon on the bench right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and credit Garcia for coming through. Right, it's not the easiest thing in the world, especially for a young hitter. Especially for a team struggling to score runs.
Yep,
runner on third base, get him home, and he got him home.
And I was looking at the numbers this morning. I think we're 5-32, I think we are in the air with runners in scoring position. I don't know if you guys were talking about that this morning, but I read the article this morning about who didn't get the job done last night. And I know it's early and it's four games in, but and what a difference it would be if we, you know, win 2 out of 3 against Minnesota and then beat a really, really good Baltimore team at their place. I mean, that changes the mood in the clubhouse. That just changes the whole feel for everybody early.
1-9 with runners in scoring position last night.
Yeah, 5-32 in 5 games. 4 games, excuse me.
I mean, I usually feel like that. The stats guys say that's going to even out over time. You know, we'll see.
I think we were bottom, I don't know, 25th or something last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a point of emphasis, I think, in spring training and all across the board for the rest of the year. Bobby Witt's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Baltimore's a good team. They got a good bullpen. I mean, ours is still in flux. You're going to see a bunch of different arms before it's all said and done this year and try to figure out who's going to fit in where. I don't know who's going to end up closing or not. I don't know, Will Smith maybe because he's got the most experience, but I don't think we haven't even come close to figuring out who's going to go where.
I mean, they're going to need a lot of guys. That's the way the game works anymore because, and we're talking about Waka having to get, he went 5 innings. You know, that used to be considered not
Well, I mean, that's
but that's just how it goes.
Well, and Steven talking about it earlier about you used to discount a little bit of the bullpen. Games changed a lot, too. I mean, you don't have guys go 7-8 innings anymore.
Right.
So
right.
You're going to get 40% of your innings throughout the course of the year are going to be coming from your bullpen. So even more important to be able to find that 2-inning guy.
We used to have great debates about that. And I just remember what do you remember why? It was the importance of starting pitcher versus closer or bullpen.
Joaquin Soria.
Yeah. We had great debates about that. And look, I understand both sides of it. And sure, if you would love to have a great starting pitcher as opposed to a great closer. But then people devalued the bullpen so much, I thought it got too ridiculous. But then you saw what a dominant bullpen could do in 14 and 15. And then baseball changed also, like you said. It's just, I mean, hell, the defending Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, what did we talk about last year? You barely get him to go past 7 innings.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a no-hitter going, and that's not even a debate.
Well, and the way you even hear him talk, he didn't want to go past 7 innings.
It's just that's how it is.
That's the difference.
If you can get 5 or 6 innings, you feel like you've accomplished something, and then you hand the keys to the bullpen. So it is different. But also, it also lends to more volatility.
Yep.
Because now we have to think about this a little bit differently. Because this, that's one of the things I hate saying over and over again at the beginning of a baseball season. It's early. Whatever.
It is.
Right. It is early. But early on, you start to see, and I think that's one of the most interesting things about a baseball team with so many new pieces and so many young pieces. And this is why I asked Scott Sharp, if you remember, I asked him this question last week. What is the identity of this team going to be? When it comes together, what are they? What's the identity? At least early on, we're starting to see, strong starting pitching, an impressive rotation. This is going to be good. All right? You've got some high-end talent in Bobby Witt and Michael Garcia, and Vinny Pasquantino and guys like that. You've got, some athleticism. You've got some speed off the bench in Blanco. There's something, hopefully, continue to play good defense. But then is this going to be like, they got a bullpen that's dragging ass. This is going to be mixing and matching, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, as this develops, by the time we get to the All-Star break, what's the identity of this team going to be? Who are they? And what's going to hold them back, or what's going to lift them up? And clearly, Bobby Witt Jr., he's a stud.
Yeah.
He's going to have an MVP-level season. I think Michael Garcia, he's a breakout guy. I think Vinny's going to get rolling, and we'll see what type of middle-of-the-order hitter he is. A guy that people are already mad about, and I don't know how he's going to pan out with the Royals, is Hunter Renfroe. I don't know what he's going to be. That's going to tell a big story here.
Well, and we talked about it last week, I think, too, about the bottom third of this lineup, too, whoever ends up in that spot. And we've got to get some production from whoever that is down there.
What's Isbell going to do?
Frazier, Isbell, he's hit a home run. So far, so good. I mean, hitting 5 runs, I didn't realize we hadn't hit 5 home runs in a home game since 2017.
And I do think that I'm not as, sold that he's going to do it. But Royals brass, they still do believe in Michael Massey. And they think he is an ascending player that's going to establish himself this year. And he's not in the lineup. Says there's one more guy that's higher upside that can help this lineup. I don't know what you think about Massey, but they still believe that.
I've been a Massey fan since day one. I've seen him play in college. I know some of his, some of the family that he grew up with. I love how he plays the game. He's a baseball rat. Just a baseball player in the truest sense of the word.
So he can help
that guy.
Yes. He can help the bottom of that lineup.
When he's back, I hope he injects some fire into the lineup when he gets back in there. I don't know is he still a couple weeks out? I don't know.
I don't think it's not supposed to be a lengthy stay. You stuck your bottom lip out when I said Michael Massey.
Oh no.
Oh,
I like Michael Massey a lot.
But I'm just saying that he was talking about what can help the bottom half of the lineup. He's not going to come in and carry anything, but that's a nice little addition.
Yep.
And Adam Frazier, he's not an everyday guy at this point now. He's a good piece off the bench.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what Massey can do now in his second year after he's seen major league pitching for a while to be able to develop, and because he's got some upside and give me more upside guys. So I'm curious to see what he can do. I still like him.
Same.
Some people jumped
cautiously
off,
optimistic,
you know, right? But this bullpen, Bluma, this is your area. You need to give us some answers.
I mean, I wish I had some. And we got a bunch of new arms, a bunch of guys, you know, feeling their way through it. I mean, it's not a matter of they don't have good stuff.
Who's,
everybody's down there.
Who's the best arm that you like the most? I told you, Jake's going to give you $100 of his winnings, and you're going to bet on this guy. He's established himself as a stud in this bullpen.
I like Schreiber. I mean, I just like him because he's different. He's got a different look.
Give him the money,
Jake.
He's
got some success. Give me the money, Jake. Schreiber. Yeah. For a guy that's, you know, he's
Hundy.
Hundy.
Who else do you, I mean, I trust your keen eye. When you look at him, like, oh, this guy's a stud.
I like Zerpa down there too, but I think he's going to end up being a starter at some point when somebody. But as long as everybody that we've run out there so far has done a good job. I mean, we got who's our fifth? Marsh starting today.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully he goes out and that's what I'm going to love about the starting pitching guys too is everybody's gone out there and it's going to be a competition against one another.
Is there anyone that you see in the bullpen like?
I mean, these guys didn't have a great spring, you know, and we're still finding our stuff. So nobody jumps off the page for me
There's
yet.
There's no one that you're nervous, like, I don't know.
Well, everybody's kind of made me nervous at the beginning.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, I got to get a chance to sit and watch games. I haven't gotten to sit and watch many games either. I mean,
sit and watch
box
one.
Scores. Well, I'm
you're all over the place.
Doing lessons and doing stuff.
Let's just sit down one game. Damn it.
Today. Tonight, maybe.
Let's take a break. How about that?
Damn it, Bluma.
You know?
Come on.
So now we do the segment at least.
Watch the game, for God's sakes.
Who's going to vote? Let's go. Let's go, Kansas City, vote. Can we get a song about voting or something? I don't know.
Well, you don't even want to know what song I had queued up.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you mentioned Joaquin Soria.
Great. I asked for a song about voting, and this is what I get. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.
In the city of Kansas City, the Royals play tonight. If they lead in the final inning, Joaquin Mole tonight.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you. So what have you seen from Alec Marsh? What do you think of the Royals' fifth starter?
I love his stuff. I love his stuff last year, especially he had a couple really good outings last year. He just dominated, man. I want him to get out there and be strike one. I think he's been a benefit of all the different metrics and all the different things you could do to change his, you know, kind of his pitch repertoire with the sweeper, cutter, sinker, a little bit of everything now. And you want to downplay spring training a little bit, but he won that fifth starting competition in spring training. So I'm sure he's anxious to get out there and get rolling and lock up his spot. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of what Brad Keller did early in his career, coming over as a Rule 5, got his feet wet in the bullpen, and then got an opportunity to start. And where is he now, by the way? Brad Keller gone, just like
guess.
That.
Yes. So you can guess.
No, I'm looking for big things out of Marsh.
Now, think about what I said earlier in the show, and that'll give you a hint. What did I call the another team?
Oh, the White Sox.
There you go.
Is that where he is?
The Chicago ex-Royals.
So another one.
Right.
There you go.
I mean, the Royals had so much success here recently, you could understand why they'd want to.
Did he make their team? Oh. I didn't even see. I mean, I was.
Let's see.
Don't know.
I don't see him on the major league roster. So, Nicky Lopez made it.
Yeah, I was actually.
Nothing to sneeze at, says Nate.
I didn't realize Nicky was with the White Sox
actually,
either.
Something so to sneeze at.
I had the.
What the hell's wrong with Nicky Lopez?
That's a good feat.
I sneezed, damn. So I did sneeze.
Damn.
I like Nicky Lopez.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a
weird. It'll be a reunion next week here with all the.
It's a weird approach that the White Sox have.
Let's get as many Royals as we can. They've won so many games here lately.
Familiarity, that's what it is.
I mean, Chris Getz is the GM. Pedro Grifol is the manager. Mike Tozar is assistant hitting coach. Catching coach is Drew Butera.
Wow.
Charlie Montoyo, wasn't he here? He's the bench coach. Maybe not.
Oh, that's a I didn't realize there was that many. I knew Grifol, but I didn't know.
Is Chris Getz still looking for his first home run as a Royal?
Maybe. Tim Hill. I'm just trying to find names now. Yeah, Tim Hill's here for 2 years.
Yeah.
Huh? Like Timmy Hill.
Yeah.
Brian Shaw. Well, we'll see them soon enough.
Yeah, well, we need to get a win or two in Baltimore before they come back here. And then we got Houston, who took it on the chin from the Yankees to start the season, but then their fifth starter threw a no-hitter yesterday.
How about those Space City uniforms?
His ninth career start. Yeah, speaking of uniforms, what a disaster that all these new unis have been through Fanatics and Nike and, I mean, smaller names on the back, and I don't know, a lot of players not happy, sweating through them.
You mentioned Houston and the no-hitter. Ronel Blanco last night struck out 7, walked 2, 10-0 win, no-hitter over the Blue Jays. 30 years old, didn't pitch in the majors until he was 28 and was making just his 8th career start. And he wouldn't be in the rotation if not for injuries to that the Astros have already had. And so it was the 17th, good God, the 17th no-hitter in Astros history. And it was the first one in the majors since Philadelphia's Michael Lorenzen 3-1 on August 9th of last year.
Yep.
So...
That's a great. Well, and against a pretty stellar lineup in the Blue Jays with all the offensive guys they've got, for a guy that's, that's something to be said for nobody having a book on the guy because you don't know much about him, but you still got to go out there and do it and get the opportunity. Talk about seizing an opportunity. You get your fifth spot for the Houston rotation and you throw a no-no. So that ought to get him a few more, I would think, throughout the course of the year. Every major league team's like that too, Royals included. I mean, you're always signing non-roster guys and signing whoever to get an opportunity, and you try to catch lightning in a bottle, And who knows if that guy will ever throw another no-hitter. But look at the end of the season, you're going to need those guys to give yourself a chance to get to the playoffs. You always – people that help you contribute from you didn't even think that they would.
And also the question you asked earlier about Michael Massey, it's supposed to come back early to mid April. He's on the IL with lower back tightness, and so it's more precautionary. He was placed on the IL 10-day IL on opening day. He's continuing his rehab in Arizona. He's already in sim games and participating in live BP to ramp up his at bats and baseball activity. He's expected. Like it said, if everything continues to progress smoothly, back in mid-April.
Gotcha. So you should be out on a rehab assignment pretty quick.
Right. We will take a break. Back after this with more from Jamie Bloom on WHP.
I appreciate everyone in this room and their support. And I would tell you that from my perspective, this election is about hope. It's about jobs. It's about hope for better opportunities. And I want to make sure that we stay, again, Des Moines and Omaha are great towns, but I think it's really important that we stay a major league city. I think about a lot. And again, thanks to Lamar and Mr. Kaufman, what this city would be like if we didn't have these two teams.
Boy, Des Moines and Omaha.
Who was laughing so hard at that?
Des Moines.
Wow.
Sound like a supervillain.
It's really
whoever that was really doesn't like Des Moines and Omaha. Play the whole thing again.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they're great towns.
We want to make sure that we stay. Again, Des Moines and Omaha are great towns, but I think it's really important that we stay a major league city.
That sounded like almost like Chewbacca laughing lady.
Yeah.
Was she there? Was that her? I wanted to be her.
There it is.
Hold on, let's set that up. Get back to the beginning of that laugh. Set up the Chewbacca laugh. See if you get the timing right, all right? Ready? You got the Chewbacca laugh? Hold on. You know, Des Moines and Omaha are really great towns.
Des Moines and Omaha are great towns, but I think it's really important that we stay a major league city.
Good God.
Wow.
Des Moines and Omaha are great towns, but I think it's really important that we stay a major league city.
Wow. Somebody thought the idea that those two towns are great towns was hilarious.
I had a blast in Des Moines and Omaha. I love it. I get what he's saying, though.
You want to be a big league town. You want to be a major league town. That was a big thing Lamar Hunt always said. You know, it's one of the things that makes Kansas City a national and even global city is the fact that really sports probably more than anything is what puts us on that map. Major league sports. That's what he's trying to get at.
Here comes political Nate. Go. Keep going. Keep going. Tell
people. Political. That's sports. That's,
sure it is.
It's geographical. But this is a global city now.
Right. Kansas, you don't want to be Des Moines or Omaha.
They're great towns.
I wouldn't mind living in Des Moines or Omaha.
No, they are great towns. But
there are.
There is a difference. There is a difference between the fact, I mean, I think one of the big separators that Kansas City has, obviously it's a bigger city than those two towns. But I think that when it comes to, Kansas City's perceived as a major league city. And it's on the global map now. People around the world know Kansas City because of the sports teams more than anything.
So tell people to vote yes then. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not telling anybody how to vote.
You should.
If I had told you what I would do if I lived in Jackson County.
What would you do if you lived in Jackson County, Nate?
I already told you that.
But people, not today.
Okay, I would vote yes.
Only the same people listen to the show every day. No new listeners. We have no growth, according to you. No chance to reach our ceiling. Let me just walk out of this right now and send my ass back to the Northland. Okay. Let's go. Very simple. Are you ready? You live in Jackson County, and you're going to go vote. What do you vote?
I would be voting yes.
There it is. Why?
Because
Stop.
Because I want to keep the Royals and Chiefs happy.
Now, see, what's wrong with what you just said?
I don't love I don't love this proposal.
Do you think it's an indecent proposal?
I think it's been. I think it has not been very well thought out.
But still, you would vote yes.
But I would vote yes.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I might just be blinded by how much I love my sports, you know?
Okay.
But
that's your opinion. Yeah. That's what you don't.
Yeah.
You have to be sorry
for what
you want. I wouldn't
want them to leave. I think it's better having them in my town. And if I'm at Jackson County, and I think it's better having them in Jackson County. That's
all right.
Do I have the economic studies to back it up? No. I mean,
Jake, if you lived in Jackson County, and you were a citizen of the United States,
hypothetical
who,
that
what
is.
Would you, what would you vote?
What Nate vote?
He said yes.
I vote no.
Wow. You want to weigh in on this?
Show me.
Before you leave? I am staying out.
How about you know what? How about Ali Marsh go throw a jam?
That's what I want. Huh? I want Marsh to
you
go out there.
Yes,
and
to Ali Marsh.
Shove
don't
you? And the bullpen.
Hey!
Is
yes.
Shove. What's that even mean?
Yeah. You know what it means.
So dumb.
You know what it means.
Don't say it.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.